Joe Piscopo was there, and he gave me a $50 tip, and I was like, I can't.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like, I can't take this. And this guy Bart, who was the maitre d' at the place, took me aside, and he goes, if someone gives you a fucking tip, you take it. It was like, but it was just like, the more you sort of whine and complain when something good happens to you or something gives you something good, it sort of feel you're sort of being like ungrateful for the moment
itself.
To
the universe.
Yeah, to the universe.
Hello and welcome to Bald Talk, the podcast where two bald comedians interview bald actors, directors, graphic novelists, the sane and insane alike about being bald. I'm Charlie Sanders and I'm bald.
I'm Brian Husky and I'm bald.
We pulled the old switcheroo on you there, folks. We did it. And Charles, today our guest isn't bald. He's very hirsute, in fact.
Extremely.
He's got a great head of hair.
Correct.
Just really enviable. But he is one of the funniest comedians that we've ever been privileged to work with or watch. He's been a writer and actor on such shows as Brooklyn Nine-Nine, A Big Mouth, Uncorked, Black AF. And most recently, he donned a wig to portray a young Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Please welcome our friend, Gil Ozeri.
Yeah, welcome to Bald Talk.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Woo!
I feel honored.
Intros are tough. You should, man.
Happy to have you. I thought we were rocking, and then I guess I fucked it up. Whatever. Who cares? I mean, we're live. Now that I have like 75 dead people I know, I'm like, I'm alive. Every sec, I have a thing on my wall that says you're alive.
You're just grateful. I have a thing on my refrigerator that says this is temporary.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it helps me get through the day.
Yes, I gotcha. 100%.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. I mean, it's a version of this too shall pass, but
It's good to keep. I mean, I never thought I would get into it, but I like the idea of like how just in like infinitesimally small I am in the big picture of things.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Takes a lot of weight off, but then sometimes I'm like, well, why then? Like, what does it mean? And but most of the time I'm like, okay, I'll lean on takes the pressure off.
For joy. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I find myself being grateful for just the smallest things and just trying to stay in the moment and just, absolutely. You know.
Oh my God. Me too.
Yeah.
We had like a little grace period during the pandemic of recording this when we're like, we weren't talking about it. And then lately it's just crept up in a few, like people are just like, ugh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hangover continues. Just every.
Totally. No. And hopefully this surge will pass real soon. You know, it seems like it's turned the corner in LA at least.
Gil, did you say your sign on the fridge is it's temporary?
This is temporary.
This is temporary. Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna print that out like the second we're done recording.
It's helped me so many times when I'm just like, you know, taking shit out on my wife or my kid or whatever it is, and then I just look up at the, because it's usually when I'm hungry too. So I look at the fridge and it's just like, this is temporary. It's like, oh yeah.
Oh, you know? Right.
Yeah, oh right, this is going to end soon and I have to basically face everything I've just said to
me. You better enjoy what you got, my friend.
Exactly.
The hard part is like when you're not feeling like it's temporary and you just perpetuate it. You know what I mean? That's my thing. I was like, oh, if I'm...
Wait,
if I'm
explain really, that a lot. Meaning what, Brian?
Meaning like if I'm worried about something... instead of being like, okay, this is temporary, I'll be like, okay, this is happening now and it will probably continue indefinitely. Yeah. You know, it will just like, or if there's like a little lapse, it'll come back again.
Yeah. Like, well, I tend to also do that with like, okay, I have, I guess, a tendency to do that with things that are good. I'll be like, oh, this is, I shouldn't like revel in this because it's going to end soon. But when something's bad... Yeah, I feel like it's just my sort of POV or something, or the way I've operated for my entire life. It's like I focus on the sort of worst case scenario or the bad thing that's going to happen. I'm like, this is going to last forever. Yeah, so like if it's like if, you know, the pandemic, if I feel like, oh shit, this is going to be like forever, then I'm like, oh yeah, it's temporary. This is going to end soon. You know, just like, you know, Delta was replaced, or just like, you know, when Alpha went down, you know. And so, you know, I'd rather not just do that with good things. I'd rather do that with bad things too.
Wait,
and
do you do it with good things?
I do, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I do that too.
I put them down. Yeah, I put them down. I say they're not good enough, or you know, this is just for right. Yeah, I mean, it feels like I guess it's a defense mechanism, like to try to
why.
It's like vigilance. It's a perverse version of vigilance.
I don't mean to be mean about it to you.
No, you're not.
I personally don't do that, so I'm just interested.
Well, it's like, yeah, because it's sort of,
you think they'll go away.
Like, don't get used to it. Like, don't what? Get too
exactly.
comfortable, and
don't the rug might be pulled from under your feet, and then you'll be even more. Then you'll be like even more like fucked if you don't.
You'll
like,
feel worse.
You'll feel worse, yeah. Or you won't be prepared. You'll be surprised by it. You'll be shocked by it. And if I am able to sort of like minimize whatever is good. You know, I'm sort of beating life to the punch. I'm sort of being like, well,
yeah.
You know.
Copy that. Yeah, you know? I hear you. We've had
You're
other people talk about
You're preemptively getting
that.
Disappointed.
Exactly. Yeah, I was like, fuck yeah. You, life. I'll be disappointed before you make me this.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, Gil, can you give me like an example of that? Just out of curiosity.
If anything, I mean, like if I book any sort of job, or like if I like have like any sort of.
So you get on a TV show, you're like, well, it'll get canceled. Like
or yeah, or just like, you know, I don't know. I just like, I don't know if I'm good enough, or like, you know,
but
like,
Gil,
yeah,
you're like,
or like, yeah, it's just tiny, or it's just small, or it's just not. It's yeah. just like this. Here's what's wrong with it. I'll
Gil, you and I are
similar.
Simpatico.
Okay. It does feel like it's bullshit, because, you know, you're putting something. You're trying to get people to say, no, it is good. You know, no, it is. It's sort of just like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like it's sort of, I find that when somebody sort of complains about something that's going well in their lives, you know, that they're trying to elicit sympathy from the person they're sort of speaking to. They're trying to get someone to go, it's not that bad. It's going to be okay. So I feel like a lot of times when I'm doing this, I'm trying to, you know, it's a defense. It's trying to get, you know, other people to be like, no, you know, as opposed to just saying, I'll give you an example. One, I used to work at this bar called Jilly's in New York. It was Jilly Rizzo's bar, who was Frank Sinatra's bodyguard. Right, and it was like
I remember that bar. I went there. Yes.
It was like filled Jilly with Rizzo's. It was filled with like mob guys, and like I had to wear a tuxedo, and like oh, it wow. was like Joe Piscopo and James Gandolfini were regulars there, and John.
I think you gave me free drinks at that.
Did
bar.
I?
Was
oh
that
my
during
god!
During UCB,
it was during UCB.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
But
you
like,
me up.
At one point, I did this like. I used to do this impression of the owner's son, Willie Rizzo, and
that's a bad move.
It's a bad and but well, Joe Piscopo was there, and he gave me a $50 tip, and I was like, I
Damn.
Can't. Nice. Yeah, I was like, I can't take this. And this guy Bart, who was the maitre d' at the place, took me aside, and he goes, if someone gives you a fucking tip, you take it. It was like but it was just like. The more you sort of whine and complain when something good happens to you, or something gives you something good, it's sort of feel you're sort of being like ungrateful for the moment
to the
itself.
Universe.
Yeah, to the universe. So like, I feel like when I do that, it's not a good. I'm not giving back to the universe. I'm sort of saying this isn't enough for me. I need more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got schooled on my ex-wife like. Towards the end, I was just like, exactly what you said, where I was like, it's a small part, it's not much. Da, da,
yeah.
Da. And somebody was like talking to me about Veep, and they're like, oh, you're so great on Veep. I was like, yeah, I wish it was a bigger part. And she just was walking across the room, and she's like, take
yeah,
the
just
compliment,
say
just
thank you, motherfucker.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just like,
what?
And it was the only
Brian,
time.
Are
it's,
you
like,
serious?
The only- yeah, yeah.
Why?
Because if
you would be the best, Charlie, you would be the best therapist. Ever. What?
That's,
why?
That's crazy.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's crazy.
You're crazy. That's,
well,
you're crazy.
Gil,
you're
I was going to say, when the person, what was it? You? What was the part you got you were mad about or something?
Oh,
That led to the very was killed by the mafia story.
Oh, I was just
anything. I don't care.
No, it's almost everything. When I was doing an impression of the
Gil.
Yeah,
you're one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Okay, kidding. Charlie, you have your own insecurities and perspective on yourself. Yeah, everyone does. But I'm saying me? No, I don't.
I have no insecurities. What are you talking about?
But you know what I mean? Yes, like, you've got your stuff that you...
Yeah, and look, I...
That you can't see that other... And yeah, so I
but
do
don't,
think
don't
other,
fucking
I,
judge
I think other
me.
People,
I'm telling Gil, you're the funniest fucking guy ever. Like,
well, don't stop me
from saying that. Our guest, Gil, is one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life.
Oh, that's how he announced himself when he got on the
yeah,
Zoom.
Exactly.
He's like, I'm the funniest guy ever.
Well, I feel like it's sort of like you know, a it sort of helps me, and also sort of it
where does it help you?
It hinders me, because, well, it helps me in that I feel like I overanalyze stuff a lot, right? And I feel like that, and I'm also annoying, and I like to, you know, take things apart a lot. Well, I mean, ask my family that question, and they'd be very, you know, I guess I like to poke and to prod, and I like to, I like to make people prevent them from being mad at me by making them laugh. And sometimes I can't stay in the moment, because I'm always making a joke about stuff, and I can't be sincere a lot of times when I get nervous or when I get, does that make sense? I feel like in those times, the sort of overanalyzation really hinders me. And when I'm doing comedy, though, when I'm trying to point out whatever's wrong to a minuscule degree with other things, then I'm it feels like, oh, okay, I can call on this, you know, thing that I have, this, you know, this
superpower.
Yeah, I don't want to call it a superpower, but I'm even doing it right now. But you know, like, whatever this
your talent
I will not even call it a talent. I would just say it's the thing I've done for my entire life. Yeah. And I know I can do it, but like when I'm talking to my wife and we're having like an argument or something like that, I will always defer to it and be like, oh, you know, I'll say something stupid so she won't be pissed at me. And then it's like, it fucks
me. That's pretty
me,
funny.
You know?
Yes.
Or
okay,
whatever.
I feel you. Yeah.
My girlfriend busted me the other day on not being able to take a compliment. She said I was sexy.
You can't take a compliment?
Yeah. But I was like, oh, thanks. And then I made a joke at the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I took it, but then I gave it a little bit of like,
but don't forget I'm also shitty. Yeah. Like,
yeah. And there's,
why do you guys do that?
I will say that I do that because I grew up with an alcoholic.
Mm.
And so, and I know
so
that, I. Yeah. Yeah. But there's different manifestations of like what we sort of like,
yeah,
and
right.
I do think there's a commonality that we're all doing comedy. Because in doing comedy, you are both, you're exerting power over people, and then you're asking for acceptance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a weakness and a strength at the same time. It's just,
yeah.
You guys think about this shit?
Well, with my therapist, I don't think about it in the moment, I think, unless I notice the behavior. I'm like, oh, Gil, you're doing it again. Stop this garbage. You
Gil,
know?
You're in therapy?
Oh, yeah, baby. I've been in therapy since
I've
been in therapy since I was like 12 years old. I've been in therapy since my dad left my mom when I was like 12. Like, ever since then, my parents, you know, put me into therapy, and I haven't looked back.
They put you into therapy? What does that mean?
Well, we would go to therapy all together.
All of you would go together?
Yeah. Does that seem...
What was
that
like?
It was fine. It was just sort of like, you know, processing the divorce, you know, and like what had happened.
Okay.
When we split up, my daughter was 5, and we had her go to a counselor for like 4 times.
Oh.
For just somebody to sort of be like, here's what's going on.
Right.
And to this day, my daughter, she just kind of makes fun of it. She's like, she gave me a bunch of books. I remember that. Yeah. I don't remember anything she said. She gave me a bunch of like, you know, the dinosaurs are divorcing. It's like this family of dinosaurs, the parents are getting
divorced.
Did
you know the dinosaurs are not alive anymore?
Did you know that their lack of
they died soon after the
what
divorce.
The dinosaur was there.
Yeah. If you know.
Yeah. But I mean, I've been in therapy ever since because I developed like really strong anxiety after, or severe anxiety, I should say. After.
Damn. I think I have to go back to therapy.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly kept me alive during the pandemic.
I dropped mine early on, but she was just kind of, I was always having to just like, will you please push me? Will you please not just sit there? Cause I'm really good at just going in and talking about what's going on, but not really talking about anything.
But what do you mean push me? What should she do?
If I'm complaining about work and I'm complaining about my insecurities or something, that's just present day stuff, and I can do that with my friends. I want to know the root cause of why recurrently I'm doing this.
Yeah, you see, feel like I know the root cause already, and I need give me tools in order to change.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
What's
I
the think root
that's,
cause?
I think that's true. I think that's true. I know my root cause too,
what?
And it's sort of like.
Go ahead, Brian.
If you guys feel comfortable saying it, but it's fine
I mean,
if you don't. But
yeah, it's because I grew up with a drinker.
Yeah.
Me too, though. But like, why are we different?
Because we're different people. We grew up in different households.
Other elements that are.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of it was. Yeah, I was hit as a kid too.
Me too. I got the shit.
Yeah. So and it was also. It was also the way, like the divorce was a big part of it, and like how it all went down. It could have went down a lot smoother, but yeah, I mean, it was like all these things that have sort of like it made me develop this way to protect myself. Like if I made jokes, if I could, you know, extinguish my dad's anger at me quickly.
Yep.
Then
okay.
he, I would, I would be you. Able to control when I got hit and when I didn't. Does that make sense?
Same. Mm. Oh yeah. My God, I'm more than 100%.
Yeah. So totally, you know, yeah. there was that sort of element to it. Yeah. And
this one Brian. This one got a little deep.
Oh, did it? I did not notice at all. Like that we've not mentioned.
Yes, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't done your thing where you've gone.
It's actually more surprising to me that you guys are not, or like you aren't in therapy, Charlie, over this pandemic. Because it's not for you.
Yeah. I did therapy for a while.
Yeah,
but it ain't for me no more.
Yeah.
All aboard talk.
Ever heard of social media? We have, and no big deal, we are on it. Check us out on Instagram at Bald Talk Pod or on Twitter at Bald Talk Podcast.
Please make sure to like, rate, and review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We don't care where you get them, just get them.
No judgment, wherever you get them, anywhere. Anywhere.
Anywhere, whatever. No judgment.
As long as you listen, we don't give a fuck.
Only on Bald Talk.
Yeah, I do this other, I do program work stuff that helps me. At this point, I'm just like, my brain maintenance has to do something. Because if I just leave it alone for a while, I'm like, I got this, it's fine.
Yeah. No, my shit creeps up on me. I almost had like a mental fucking breakdown at the beginning of the pandemic. Like when we were 3 months in, I was just like, I got it. Maybe I should even, I was just like at the point of like this. I had sort of avoided medication for my anxiety forever because I was scared of it too. And then I finally took it.
Yeah.
It changed my life. So I,
it
man,
did.
And I have to say, like having a four-year-old, said, like I feel for you. Cause like, that was a beautiful and very challenging time too for me. Cause it was like, I love being with my kid, but I was also kind of, I was like, sometimes it's hard, it's exhausting. It's that thing of like, this is, I love this kid, I love this person, this being around them and stuff, but it demands
everything. You have no bandwidth for anything else.
Yeah.
Anything.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I knew that kind of, but I haven't
it's
really
crazy. By like 2 p.m. I'm like, my day's over, I'm done. I can't do anything after
you're
this.
Dealing
7 p.m. I'm exhausted. Yeah, exactly. There's no.
Oh my God. It's just that's all intense.
Yeah, it's really tough. It's really tough.
Yeah. So that during pandemic.
No, I feel for them.
Sounds pretty.
I feel for the people who have like two jobs and two kids and like during this pandemic, they must be losing their fucking minds.
Yeah.
All right. Will you all holler at me if you need my help with something?
Okay.
Yeah.
Will you watch his kid?
Will you watch my kid?
Yeah, sure. I would.
For like 3 months?
Yeah. However long you need.
Will you take him to New Zealand where there are no cases?
I would not take. I don't think I can do New Zealand, but I could do like a week in LA maybe if you needed it as a babysitter or something. Take him to some. Take her to some Dodgers games.
Take her to a lot of public events.
Yeah. Indoor fucking concerts.
She could come over though, and we'll throw the Dodgers on the TV.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I guess trying to think of us. I mean, we're all in comedy.
Yes.
And Gil, you recently portrayed a comedic icon in a way.
Young Larry. I mean,
he's a bald icon, that's for sure. But the strange thing is, the really meta level like mind bender is that you have a full head of hair.
Yes.
You wore a wig.
I did.
To portray a bald dude.
That's right.
And in that same show, there's a dude who has a full head of hair that had work done, Ted Danson, and was wearing a bald cap.
Yeah.
For that episode, for that part of the episode.
Still looks great, Ted Danson, in a bald cap.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. He's got that head structure. He's like a rectangular head.
He's got the rectangular head. Absolutely. Yeah. Also, they underused you.
Yeah, I mean, there was more stuff.
Did you feel that or no?
There was more stuff. I mean, like, you never know how it's going to be, like, edited.
Of course,
and, like, I I don't know. It's.
With that show, you don't know what's going
on. I feel like longer it's gone on, it's like people just. It's Larry, you know what I mean?
And yeah,
it's just like,
for sure.
They'll cut to you and you'll be like, what?
Yeah,
what you
got like one line.
Yeah.
But it's still a notch in the belt for sure.
Oh no, it was really fun to do, and it's like, okay, I could always say like I wish I had more, but it's just like I just got to be like that was great. And you know,
so
it was
going back to our therapy, since this is now a therapy session. So in terms of that one, like for me, I did Curb. Mm-hmm. I had auditioned for years and then I did my scene, and it was, I was just barely connective tissue between him and this other person.
Right.
Sort of like the person. Caught
I
in
forget
the
what was the episode? I know I saw it, but it's
I was like standing in line at a buffet.
Okay. Yeah. Now I remember. That was, you were funny, dude.
Oh, thanks. But you know, but for me, for all the kind of, because I think I am a hyper aware. I was hyper aware of the like emotional man hours I had put into wanting this.
Yes.
And then going, driving all the way out to Santa Monica and auditioning again and again. And then that's what I got. And so my reaction was like,
too small.
Too small.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then for me, it gets into this battle of like, I feel like I'm better than this. I should have more. At the same time, I'm getting a message of like, but you're telling me I'm not better than this and I deserve less. And
it's weird because it's like, it's that part of it of like guessing why it's happening is, I think, part of the trap, because you know, like it's something that you don't have any control over. They can,
totally.
You know, like, you know, you don't know why they're cutting that scene down after whatever, or why they're, you know, they need you, or, you know, they, or what they need for the scene. It could be, there could be a million reasons why they, you know, and to assume, you know, it's just really tough.
And it's not a lesson that
Damn.
I've gotten so much better at it, but I was not good at retaining that. When I made my own stuff, I started to be like, oh, okay, I see it from the other side now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
when
I did a couple of shows and did that pilot and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, again, it's like we were talking with Nathan, just the thing about just being an actor, you go into the void. You see it with Camille. You just like are throwing this message in a bottle out there, especially now. You're like, I'm going to upload this. and see what happens. And whereas before, at least you'd have some human contact with the casting people.
Right.
Now even that's taken away. So you're just like, I don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you just sort of have to like let go, just do it and let go right away,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like, I'd say my batting average on that is like 70-30, maybe 80-20. But the more I want it, the more that kind of crumbles.
Yeah, I think it's impossible. I think it's impossible to get rid of. I think it's more about sort of like resiliency and how quickly you overcome like, oh, this bad feel. It's sort of like that shoplifting quote of like, all right, we're going to have 5% of our merchandise is going to be shoplifted. We have to just be okay with that.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's just like the same sort of thing. It's like, I know I'm going to be an asshole about this, and I have to be just like not beat myself up over it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys think about it a lot more than I do.
That's not a good thing at all, I don't think.
Just to tell you. I'm not saying that judgmentally. I'm just saying.
I wonder if that is, because for me, I mean, I've just always been that way. I just always sort of see everything from like every angle and then add extra angles.
Oh.
But you, Charlie, you seem just very like that you're just like, it is what it is. Kind of acceptance.
I just swing for the fences on everything I ever do my entire mm-hmm. life. And I don't think about it any more than that.
That's like such a healthy way to do it, too.
Is it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, is there any down, like for you, is there any downside to that? Like, has there been any stuff where it's like, oh man, I got to stop swinging for the fences on things?
No.
Or has it always kind of worked out?
There's never been a downside.
Wow.
Sorry.
It's never bitten you in the ass?
No.
Never.
I don't think so.
Okay.
That's
sorry. I'm just being honest.
I feel like that's an aspiration for me, is to try to just, you know, do what I can in the moment and then leave it behind. Like, that feels like a very healthy way to sort of live life, you know?
Mm-hmm. I live day by day, and in the day I go, what can you swing for? And I swing for it.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and also I feel like life is sort of forcing me to learn that. No, I feel like it's a lesson that I'm learning every day, like, especially through this pandemic, is just like, buddy, you have no fucking control, so you better enjoy what you're doing right now and try your
right
best.
Now.
That's it.
I mean, I feel like this sounds so pretentious, but I'm just going to be honest. Is it's my Buddhism. It's mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. I'm here right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
Yeah. And yeah. It's just and it's just like a practice, though. And it seems like it's a habit for you at this point. But like, to me, it's just like, okay, I have to get better and better at staying and being in the moment and going, this is now, this is now, this is now. And for you, it seems like instinctual at this point.
Correct.
You know? Yeah.
Yes, it is. I just go, it's now.
Well, it's not that easy for some of us, Charlie. I'm like,
yeah. Sorry.
Constantly thinking about like, oh my God. I did this bit one time for Sarah Silverman's show, I Love You America, where I stayed in
a bunker.
I remember that. I was like totally like, it was so funny because I stayed in this bunker overnight with this like doomsday guy.
I remember that.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I was like, you're fucking terrified, because he kept calling me a snowflake. And I was like, you're a snowflake, you know, like someone who is just like scared of everything and like sensitive. Because I was from, you know, New York and LA. And he was just like, yeah. And he was like, you're scared. I was like, no, you're scared. You have a fucking bunker. You know, and it was just like,
good for you. I remember that. And he's like, fuck, motherfucker.
Yeah. And he was like, no, I'm prepared. And I was like, no, you're scared. And it was like that difference.
You're right.
In, like, you know, that difference in sort of.
Yes.
Opinion over like
absolutely,
you know, I don't know.
We were talking about this other podcast. Can we shout it? Yeah, I love Jen Kirkman. She has this Anxiety Bites podcast, and it's about anxiety. And they were talking about how anxiety manifests itself differently for different people.
Yeah.
So for some people, it's like extreme worry, neuroticism, like over preparedness, you know, being type A. Other people, it can manifest in extreme anger. Frustration. It can also manifest in sort of like overconfidence, which was one that I was like, oh my God, like not overconfidence. Like, I guess they were sort of saying like almost like narcissists have a version of that where they're internally, they have something going on so much that they like just pad themselves, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With this, this outer persona and stuff. Oh. But it's crazy, quote, it's crazy just like how many times, just how it just like kind of seeps out. I mean, it's got to come out.
Yeah.
You know,
for me, it's health anxiety, really. So like I get like, I get scared that I, you know, and COVID was a big, like, that's why it was so hard for me.
Oh, I've had that a little bit. Yeah.
You know, I've had like, at one point in my life, I thought I had MS. And another point, I thought I had like HIV. At another point, I thought I had like, I was like, since I've been like 14 years old, I've gone to like get MRIs, like, once every, like, this was before I started taking medication. It was just like really tough for me because I would think,
I'm so
like,
sorry.
No, it's fine. It was just,
it sounds,
you know,
kind of
a truth. Yeah, it is. It's terrifying because, you know, you could think of it as, my first therapist told me to think of it as like a, you know, a frog with like sticky feet, and like your anxiety sort of doesn't go away. It just sort of like sticks to something else. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I sort of stopped being anxious about one thing, it would just move to something else. It's just sort of about now, like, mitigate or like minimizing the anxiety, which is really helping.
Lexapro and shit? Or
I
we can talk
Prozac.
About it off.
No, I take Prozac. I take Prozac right now, and it's just like, it's amazing. I love it.
It helps.
It fucking changed. It changed my life. It's like,
that's great.
It changed. I was just like, you know, I was in the fucking, I was in dire straits.
You were?
Yeah, it was really bad.
I say we do one last little loop of therapy.
Okay.
And then we call it.
Well, let me ask. So Charlie, like so you swing for the fences, right?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, but then at the same time you'll say like that you'll have big bouts of anxiety, like,
oh, anxiety I have problems with, yes, correct.
So do you think, is it stuff that you kind of keep in that comes and then it manifests out, or like because you say like, you
yes,
know, I think about this stuff way too much, so it's like
I don't think about it that much, to be honest with you. Like, I've just chosen to be like, I don't want to think about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather, if I die, you know, we're gonna die.
How does it show itself? How does your anxiety, you know, like?
I get really like frigid and like I'm afraid and like my body shakes and shit.
Oh shit! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you
know,
and
like,
you're correlating that with whatever thing you're like worried about or upset about.
No, it's more physical than mental.
It's more, it just comes out. And are you always sure why it's happening, or is it just like random?
I mean, yo, bros, I'm just, all right, let's do it. I got tortured when I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
So that comes out.
That comes out.
Got so it. It's more physical.
I also have it physical. Like
my anxiety, beat the motherfucking shit out of me.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'm just like this weird little puppy dog.
That's so it's so funny because I was also, you know, hit as a kid. And whenever I get anxious, I'm always in a brace myself kind of position.
This is, so I'm Gil, just like, my I'm, dear friend, I, you've always been there for me in like odd, maybe.
Odd time.
Three times a decade, you show up and make me feel better. That's what I'm talking about, my brother.
Yeah, no, I get rigid, and so like,
yes,
it's to protect your, it's like protect
correct
yourself. Yeah,
that's exactly.
My dad would go. My mom remarried, but he adopted. So I grew up with him as my dad, but he was my stepdad. And then he would just, when he would go on these drinking things, he would kind of disappear. Like, he would kind of go down this like quiet, when he start to get quiet,
he's just gone for a while kind of shit.
Just gone. He'd go downstairs and start watching like Clint Eastwood movies.
I'm sorry to laugh.
No, but like to this day, like those kind of movies, I'm like, shit, I don't like this. But that was the thing for me. It's like, you didn't know if it was going to turn into like a rager thing or if it was just going to be a him just kind of like mumbling and wandering around and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy.
My wife grew up in an alcohol.
Emily?
Alcohol. Yeah, Emily. Grew up in an alcoholic, you know, she had like a bunch of alcoholics in her family, and she was always sort of like adultified. She was just like, they were out of it a lot, so she had to be take care. Yeah, she had to be kind of responsible. When that happens, she has an aversion to that. It's just like, however you try to like save yourself as a kid is something that you're sort of trying to like let go of now, you know?
It's fucking it's impossible.
It's impossible. It's so hard.
I don't know if you've had stuff like so much stuff was brought up for me when we had our daughter, like this thing that in me that would toggle between like, oh my God, I have to be the man. And then I felt like a little boy in the same moment. Oh, I was just like,
that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I feel really you crazy. Though. I hear you.
You know what I mean? And I think everybody to some degree has those moments.
Yeah.
Like,
no, they you know, don't.
They do.
No,
they
you're
do.
Alone, no, they, Brian. Not, you're alone again.
No, you're not alone. You're with me and Gil, and we have that. But I don't think everybody has that.
I do. I think, you think to some so? Degree, but I think so.
I do. I agree.
I'm not saying to a certain degree.
Gil, you agree with Brian?
I do think that people are constantly sort of straddling between, you know, trying to escape and trying to stay in the moment and be responsible and deal with it. And like,
well, my thing was that, you know, like, my dad would grab me out of my bed and just drag me out of my bed and start punching me in the face.
Well, that's, you know, you have a very specific, you know, that's very specific. Yeah. But like, you know, it's sort of like a fight or flight.
You're the funniest person. That was hilarious.
I mean, that's like, it is. It's like, I don't know. It's an extreme version, you know? It's an extreme version of that.
An extreme version.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Charlie.
I think that, like, honestly, like, I'd be curious to see how like, what percentage of, like, Trump supporters or QAnon supporters, like, how fucked up their upbringings are.
Because they're just
not good. Because they're just running to their fucked up parents again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
It's bonkers.
We're alive.
And we all have look at us. We're in homes. This is temporary. We all have like.
This is temporary.
I have donuts being delivered as we speak.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I fucking shovel them into my mouth.
I was eating a cold piece of pizza before this.
Oh, nice. From where?
Garage Pizza.
One thing I've gotten during pandemic because of my anxiety stuff is it destroyed my stomach. Like I have.
That fucked my stomach up for sure.
Oh, dude. And I just ate something last night and now I'm back in this like, oh God, I'm going to be like all puffy and weird for 2 weeks now.
In the end, life comes down to violent diarrhea.
That's right. That's a good joke. You're either going through violent diarrhea or you're about to have violent diarrhea. That's about it.
Mine braces up. I get constipated. Okay. Yeah. I would love to.
That's worse.
Oh yeah, it's the worst.
Blowing it out. Oh my God. So much better.
Did I tell you I went to the hospital as a kid for constipation?
You did?
Yeah, I was in Israel at the time, and like the doctor goes, I had like this insane stomach pain, and she took me to the doctor, and he was like, "Humale bedudu." You know what that means?
No,
obviously don't know. It means he's full of shit. Like they took an X-ray. They took an X-ray of my stomach. I was full of shit. They had to give me three enemas for it to come out.
Oh, oh man, God. I'm so sorry. That sounds fucking awful.
Yeah, that's
I got a peek into that world one time. My daughter just couldn't go to the bathroom.
Are you serious?
Like when they're little, you know, they'll for whatever reason
they just get constipated. Sort of
just got constipated.
Oh, that sounds awful. And
this is a terrible story, but she was like. She just was like, oh, her stomach hurts so much. And she was probably like 3, maybe. And so we got advice to put her in the warm bath. So we put her in the warm bath and she started to relax. And then just this python erupted out of her.
And I watched it in real time.
It must be weird to be a parent. That sounds
so insane. Oh, it's so insane. See the most human things happen.
Yeah.
So weird.
All right. We did it. We made a podcast.
Yep.
God will.
Thank you guys. I love you and I miss you.
Gil, I miss you so much.
I want to see you guys. I really
can't
do.
I can't wait to see you in person. When
I know. I can't wait for this shit to end.
Me too, yeah,
man. I'm hoping this year.
I'm love
hopeful.
You, my friend. Thank you.
I love you, yeah, too. Thank you for having me.
Love you, too, Gil. Anytime. This is temporary.
Someone to talk to. Brian and Charlie have a hairless party, and they are all there to invite you. No hairdos, no shampoos, interviews, only on Bald Talk.
I'm Mark David Christensen.
I'm Kate Thompson, and together we host Aw Crap, a Hellboy podcast.
The show dedicated to the world of the half-demon hero created by Mike Mignola and published by Dark Horse Comics.
Our show returns this February 16th as we continue every Wednesday to make our way through the pages of Hellboy, BPRD, Witchfinder, and many more related comic book titles. Plus, we discuss the various Hellboy live-action and animated films, novels, and other media adaptations.
And occasionally, we're joined by various guests that share our passion. Previous guests include Tad Stones, creator of Darkwing Duck and Hellboy Animated, Joshua Dysart, writer of BPRD's 1946, Hector Navarro from Nerdist Book Club and just a big old fan, Jonathan Mark Sperevecchia, comic book artist and also friend of the podcast, Cody Ziegler, writer of Amazing Spider-Man and other Marvel comic books, and many more guests.
So tune in February 16th and every Wednesday to Aw Crap, a Hellboy podcast on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aw Crap, a Hellboy podcast!
Campfire.